Because blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Amen? Amen. Would you get out your bulletins, the Good Life bulletins? That's our brand new sermon series. And so if you could take that out on the back side, there's a place for you to take notes. I'm going to give you 8 things that I want you to write down tonight. So grab your bulletins and grab a pen in front of you. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 is where we'll be there tonight. And I'm so glad that you're here. I want to say welcome to everyone. It's always good to start a brand new series, but I believe God really wants to speak to our life because we're going to talk about the good life. The good life. Everybody wants the good life, right? I mean, everybody wants the good life. We strive for it. We're jealous of the people who have it. We know it when we see it, the good life. It's funny because as pastors, a lot of times people come up and they want to pray for things, and we're praying for things that will give them the good life, or so they think will give them the good life. You know, so I'll pray for somebody, Pastor Darrell, let's pray that I get this promotion at work because then I'll be the boss, and so if you could pray that way. And so we pray and God answers prayer and they're excited, and then we have them come up in a couple weeks and they begin to ask for prayer. Pastor Darrell, can we pray? This is really hard. I don't know if this was what I really wanted. I wanted to be the boss, but now I'm not sure. I talk to people who want to retire. That's the good life. If I could just retire, that's the good life. And then you talk to them, how's retirement going? And they say, oh, I'm busier than ever. I don't know when I found time to work before, you know, and they say, it's a good thing it's the weekend, because I can rest from all that not working. And, you know, it's just funny. We think that this will give us the good life, or that will give us the good life. But we all want the good life, don't we? We want to win. We want to be number one. We want to be the greatest. We want to be first. We want to be boss. We want to be rich. We want to get all that we can out of life. We want to be successful. We want to be self-sufficient, we want to be happy, we want to be safe, and we want to live forever. I mean, that's the good life, isn't it? I mean, if you could do these things, and we all define the good life differently, yet we all strive for it. And so the question we are going to look at tonight is, what are we really striving for? What is the good life? Like I said, we all kind of know it when we see it, but what is the good life? And so most importantly, we're going to look at the Bible, and we're going to look at Jesus and see how does he define the good life? And what if, just let me ask you this, what if the good life is very different from what you think it is? What if it's the opposite of what you're actually striving for? What is the good life? Well, tonight we want to tackle that we want to be the first. We want to be the boss. We want to be the best. We want to be number one. That's the first one we're going to kind of tackle. We want to be the greatest. We want to be number one. That would be the good life. If I was number one, so I'm going to work hard and I'm going to do whatever I have to do. I'm going to step on or over whoever I have to do. And I'm going to work the long hours. I'm going to be tough. I'm going to make the sacrifices and I'm going to do whatever I have to do. And Jesus gives us a teaching moment in his life when he teaches the disciples what it takes to be number one. And the thing I love about Jesus is that he is crystal clear about this. He doesn't leave you guessing. He doesn't make you wonder. He doesn't like, well, I wonder what Jesus meant by that. No, he just says, this is the way it is. It is as straightforward as you can get in Mark chapter 10. And so beginning at verse 35, if you have your Bibles open, it'll also be on the screen. It says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over to speak and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. What is your request? He asked. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." I'm going to stop the story right there for a moment. And James and John want to be number one and number two. But Jesus, you pick out who's number one, number two. We just want to be number one and number two. We want to be the best. And the first thing I realize about Jesus is that he listens to us. He listens to our requests. He hears our prayers, even the crazy requests we make of Jesus. He really listens to us when we pray. And you can't pray something so crazy that God's not listening, because you want to know why he's listening? Because he's listening for your heart. He's listening what's beating inside of you. What are you really asking for? And so Jesus is listening to their heart in this crazy request to be number one. And number two, and we also see in this passage that we really may have to go through some suffering to get what we want. It may be bitter, it may be difficult. If you really go to the heart of what we really want, it may be a little more difficult than we think. The other thing we see about this is that Jesus doesn't rebuke them for desiring greatness. He doesn't say, "Why are you asking? This is just dumb to be number one." Jesus doesn't rebuke them. He's just going to redefine what greatness is. He's going to prune them. He's going to shape them. He's going to get to the heart of the matter, and he does that in verse 41. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. Jesus called them together and said, "You know what the rulers in this world, rulers of this world lord it over the people. And officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be the first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Looking at that passage of the Scripture, Jesus, first of all, calls them together. Whenever you see this in the Gospels, that term, Jesus called them together. He's not talking to the multitudes, he's just talking to the disciples. This is an intimate conversation, a teaching moment just for the disciples. And whenever you read that, perk up and listen, because you're a disciple, you're a follower of Jesus. And he's saying, I want this private teaching for you. This isn't for the multitudes, this is for us. And Jesus is saying, I want to share something with you. And he says, "You know how this world works. You live in it every day. You know that what's going to happen is if you're in charge, you're going to lord it over everybody. That you're going to crack the whip, that you're going to rule with a strong hand. And so if you're in charge," they saw it every day with Rome, "if you're in charge, you're going to flaunt your strength." And that seems to work in the world, doesn't it? It seems to work. Well, you want to be number one, then you better crack the whip. But Jesus says, that may be how the world does it. But he says, this is not how it is in my kingdom. This is not how you're going to live in my kingdom. In my kingdom, if you want to be great, you have to serve. And if you want to be number one, you're going to be a slave. You know how the world works, but that doesn't work in my kingdom. And God's strategy for being number one, the way up, is actually the way down. See, true greatness isn't found in the accumulation of triumphs and victories. It's a life emptied into the service of others. It's giving your life away. When you strive to serve, then you'll be successful. And this is what the Bible teaches from cover to cover. This isn't something new. Jesus just began to teach his disciples. You can look in the Old Testament or the New Testament and find this principle there. Maybe some verses on the screen, you can write them down and look at them. But Proverbs 18:12 says, "Haughtiness goes before destruction. Humility precedes honor." Pride goes before the fall. We all know that, but God exalts the humble. Isaiah 66:2. Isaiah 66:2 says, I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts. That's who God blesses. That's who he recognizes. Jesus, in his own words, in Matthew 23:12 says, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. James in James 4 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's just the way God works. It goes on in verse 10 of James chapter 4. Humble yourselves, therefore, before the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's the way God works. That's the way Jesus works. Jesus is the ultimate example of what it means to be number one and yet be the greatest servant. Because in the last verse that we read, Mark 10:45, that's what we call the purpose verse of Jesus' life. In each of the four Gospels, he tells us why he came. This is the purpose of why he came. And the purpose verse in Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, to give his life as a ransom for many. That's why Jesus came. Jesus is always going to be number one. But he came to serve. Paul says it so eloquently in Philippians chapter 2. Beginning of verse 5, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is our example. He shows us what it's like to be number one, but to really be the servant of everyone. Now, deep down inside, we all desire that greatness. We desire that to be that number one. And the reason we do that, if we really started looking at our hearts, is because we want to be seen. We want our lives to matter. We want somehow to make a difference in this world, so we desire this greatness. And it's not a bad desire. It's a desire actually put there by God. It's just that we need to go about achieving this, the good life of being great. We have to do it the right way. We have to do it the way Jesus did, the way he taught us. So here's where the rubber begins to meet the road in our lives. Do you want a great marriage? Do you want to do well in your job? Do you want to have a good relationship with your children or your grandchildren? Do you want a good relationship with God? If you want a good marriage, then serve your spouse. If you want a great job, then serve where you work. If you want that great relationship with your child or grandchild, serve them and love them. If you want that great relationship with God, then serve. It's just that simple. It's just that straightforward. We don't have to wonder about it. Jesus says this is how you do it. But the question is, does this work in the real world? Because Jesus said, you know how the world works. You know how they lord it over each other. You understand that. But the reality is that what Jesus taught isn't just for you and me that sit inside of a church. This actually works in the real world. Jim Collins wrote a book, Good to Great, and he looked at the greatest companies in the world, those that had gone from nothing to something and had sustained their major place in the world, these were companies that not only got huge profits, but also were companies that gave back. These were the best companies in the world, and he looked at their CEOs, and he saw the people that led them, and they saw these companies, and he came up with this idea of level five leadership, that there's this level five leader that is needed in all of these companies. And you know what he defined in talking about level five leadership, that the CEOs of all these great companies had one thing in common. And that was that they were, in his words, not Bible words, but his secular business words, they were servant leaders. That the greatest leaders of the greatest companies were servant leaders. They weren't bosses who cracked the whip. They were bosses who loved and served their teams, that gave themselves for others. See, what Jesus taught, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus taught this truth about servant leadership, and it works. It doesn't just work in the church. It works everywhere. So if you want a great marriage, if you want a great job, if you want great relationships, then serve. That's the way to greatness. So I'm going to give you eight practical things. This is where I want you to write these things down. These are things that come straight from the scripture, straight from the text and what we've been talking about to this point. So I'm going to ask you to write these things down, and these are our takeaways from God's word, that if you're serious about serving, if you're serious about getting to that greatness, here are some things that we can do. The first thing is we can examine our heart. These will all be on the screen, by the way, so you can write them down. Number one, examine your heart. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. This is where prayer comes in, where we need to dig down deep. Why do I need to be number one? Why do I desire to be number one? Why do I desire to be great or be the boss or whatever is your good life definition? Why do I need that? And sometimes we need that because we want to appear better than we actually are. We want to be significant. We want our lives to matter. But that's where we go to prayer, because I want to tell you, your life already matters. You belong to God. You're a son or daughter of God. Your life already matters. You don't have to perform to matter. And what we need to do is we need to pray, God, make me unimpressed with my success. Make me unimpressed with my accomplishments and in my position. Just pray, Lord, make me a servant. Because if you're a servant, you're going to be number one. So just get the heart thing going. Dig deep in prayer. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Why do I have to do this? Lord, strip away any performance. Strip away anything that I'm doing just to appear important. God, I want to be important in your kingdom. And so, Lord, help me to have a servant's heart. Number two, just remember, it's okay to desire greatness, just do it right. It's okay to desire greatness, just do it right. We all want to be seen, we all want our lives to matter, that's a good thing. I want my life to count. I taught the staff this week in our staff meeting that I believe that when we're done, you know, if you see the graffiti somewhere where someone puts their name, you know, so-and-so was here, I was here, you know. I want that for our lives. I want our lives to matter. I want to say, yes, I was here and my life mattered. That's good. We should desire that. That's not a bad thing. But just do it right. Just make sure you're doing it right. And the way you do it right is by serving. Number three, listen to Jesus' teaching. Listen to Jesus' teaching. Come close to him. He said, I'm going to call you together, guys. This isn't for the multitudes. This isn't something I'm going to preach to everybody. Come here. I want to talk to you. And we need that type of relationship with Jesus. We have to come close so that we can hear his voice and listen, because we just took one story out of Jesus' life. There's so many others about what it means to be a servant, what it means to give your life for others. And so get close to Jesus and listen to his teaching. The next one. Don't do it the world's way, do it Jesus' way. Don't do it the world's way, do it Jesus' way. The world will tell you this is how you get to be great. This is how you get to be number one. And what we need to do is we need to confess our pride. Because I have a lot of pride. And I wrestle with that a lot. It's like, God, I don't want to do this for pride. Lord, I want to do it your way. I want to serve my way to greatness. I don't want to perform my way to greatness. I want to serve my way to greatness. Jesus just tells us the way it is. So don't do it the world's way. Do it Jesus' way. Next one. Follow his example. Do it the way Jesus did. Whether you look at the passage in Mark or the passage in Philippians, Jesus, he just emptied himself. He didn't try to gain his position by flaunting his power. No, he emptied himself. He served other people. Do it the way Jesus did it, and you'll be keeping some pretty good company there. Just serve. Just give your life away. John Wesley had a prayer that he prayed over and over, and this could be our prayer every morning. Let me be nothing, and Christ be all in all. Let me be nothing, let Christ be all in all. Follow his example. Do it his way. The next one. This one's really important. Is that you were made to serve. You were made to serve. Now you, when you write this down, you might want to underline it because this is your purpose. You were created to serve. You're to be like Jesus, and he came to serve. You were created to serve. And so what that means, if I was created for something, that means God put it in my DNA. That God put something inside of me to serve. And when I'm serving, then I'm going to be fulfilled. Then my life is going to matter. That thing that I so desperately want, well, I want my life to matter. I want to know people. People know I was here. I want to make a difference in the world. You will when you serve. Because that's what you were created for. And so again, just remember, you were made to serve. God put that on the inside of you. Next is actually a question that I want you to ask yourself. Are you willing? And say, am I willing? Am I willing to not be seen by this world? Am I willing to remain humble in the midst of service? Am I willing for someone else to get the credit for what I'm doing? Am I willing to suffer? Am I willing to go through a bitter time? Because sometimes serving is hard. Sometimes we don't see those immediate results. Maybe sometimes we get taken advantage of. Sometimes we think it doesn't even matter. But are you willing to be humble? Are you willing to be invisible? Are you willing to go through hardships in serving? The final one here is look for ways to serve. Look for ways to serve. Our world needs a lot of help. And so what I want us to do is I want us to begin to look kind of everywhere we're at. Where can I serve? And I definitely think it's important to serve in church because you're serving your family, your church family, so you want to serve in church. But I think it's even more important to serve outside this church. To serve someone in this world, to serve people that would never know Jesus, to serve people that would wonder, like, why are you doing this? That we'd serve him everywhere. We'd serve him in the church, outside the church. We'd serve him in our homes, at our schools, at our workplaces. That we would just serve. We would have that servant attitude, like, okay, I'm all in. What do you need? I'm here to serve, Lord. And what we need to do is sometimes get in over our heads. I think the kids' pantry is a prime example of that. That here at the church, of just some moms in our church that are in over their heads, so to speak, in something so much bigger than who they are, that requires so much help and so many other people serving so that they can bless so many other people. And I'm not just talking about the kids' pantry, I'm talking about your life. What are you in over your head with? Because when you're there, man, you're going to be serving the way God wants you to serve. And he's going to give you strength. He's going to give you power. It's in that moment he might start pruning you and shaping you and making you more like him. It'll be hard, but it'll be the best thing that you've ever done. And when we serve, there will be thank yous. People will be grateful. They will come up and say thank you. And it's good to receive those compliments, to take them, because they're given to you. And so receive those compliments. But here's the most important part. Is when you get them, Give them to God. Give them to God. Give them right back to Him. You know, it's funny because today, I didn't even do anything for the pantry. I didn't even do anything this weekend other than walk around and smile and shake hands and say hi to people. I mean, they did all the hard work. And when people would find out I'm the pastor, it was like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's like, I didn't do anything, but, you know, and I was up in my office the other day, and it just, the immensity of what's happening here just was like, wow. It was so grateful to God. It's like, God, thank you for allowing us to be a part of this. I know that's what all the pantry moms would say. God, you are so cool to let me be a part of what you're doing. That this really isn't about me. Yes, I'm giving my life, my time, my energy. I'm in over my head. But thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you for the privilege of choosing us to be the people that are serving. When you get a compliment, take it, but then give it right back to God. To God, it really belongs to you. I have to admit to you that the last several weeks of church, several weekends have been very, very hard for me. And I'll tell you why they've been hard, and it's just because Ed Alexi isn't here anymore. And if you've only come on Saturday night, maybe you don't know who Ed is, but Ed is church elder, head usher, and can't remember a time that we've had church here that Ed isn't at the back door on a Sunday. And it just hits me every time now and then that Ed's not coming. And I remember just every Sunday morning very early that he'd come through the door and we'd talk for a little bit. And just, he's not going to come through the door ever again. And I'll never forget the first communion Sunday that he wasn't here the week after he died. And just carrying those trays in on Sunday morning, because he always did that. And just overwhelmed with emotion, like, he's gone. And if you were at his funeral, which was here a couple weeks ago, on a Sunday afternoon, this place was packed out. It was packed out. And it wasn't all church people either. No, it was family. It was friends. It was the people he did business with. The people that he helped along the way. When I think about Ed's life, I think about what we've been talking about today. Ed never stood up in front and preached a sermon like this tonight. He never came up and shared, God's word. He never did that. He was always in the back. But he always served. And that's why this place was packed out. Because of his influence, because of his servanthood. He was willing to serve whatever. He was willing to do whatever for anybody, even the people that could never pay him back, whether it be at church or in his business or in his family. He was just willing to do anything to serve. And you know what that did? It made Ed great. It really made him great. He's a great guy. And we miss him. But that's how simple this is. It's not about standing up and preaching the gospel. It's not about being number one. It's about serving. And that when I serve, I'm living the good life. Would you bow your heads and your hearts with me tonight? And we're going to spend a few moments in prayer before we conclude. But I'm going to lead you in this prayer time, and so we're just going to have some quiet worship music playing, and I'm just going to kind of lead you in this prayer time. And so if you could bow your heads right now, and if you have your notes nearby, we might just look over those depending on how the Holy Spirit leads during this time. But it's so simple. We all want the good life. We all desire to be great. We all desire to see our lives matter. And it's so simple. It's just about serving. It's about serving the people around us. It's about serving the people we know and the ones we don't know. Serving the ones that say thank you and serving the ones that will take advantage of you. It's about serving not just people, but by serving them, serving the Lord. Jesus is calling you today to live the good life. And the good life isn't about being number one. It's actually about being the last. And so let's just spend some moments in prayer. Just examine your heart right now.